can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news, my head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, this is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II coming to you live out of Alaska with the Ralph Winterroad Show, and I have Mark Mays. He's out of down south there, I think, in Oklahoma.
Well, you wouldn't think so far down south, because we had a big ice storm this past week.
Really?
And, yes. I mean, been without electricity for 4 days, just getting things turned back on. I've never in my lifetime, Ralph, seen an ice storm in October in Oklahoma.
Really?
And what really made it bad was there were still leaves on the trees. The leaves hadn't even fallen yet. So, you know, you got leaves on the tree, they're catching freezing rain, and it just made it that much more devastating.
Wow, we've been without trees. You know, we have about we go from summer to fall in about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just they get around and turn, we have a beautiful golden and all that, and next thing you know, the wind comes up, and I look out the next morning, and where'd all the leaves go? They all go.
Yeah.
And this morning, it was 4 degrees at my house. Little nippy.
Nice.
I tell you, it's just amazing if people could. That's one of the things I do when people get on the list, and if they want to get the hard drive with this stuff, it has about 470,000 documents. That's a lot. And
wow.
I help people if they, you know, how to, it's got all the statutes at large. We've got all kind of regulatory stuff, dictionaries, both to look up words, and then all the Blacks and Bouviers, all the different versions of those things. And I tell you, it's just, if you're really interested, and people call, and I'll tell you where to go look, or I'll help you. And a lot of the briefs and stuff, I have a modules list in there that I have certain modules I've made up, and I keep adding to it. And if you want to get an updated version, you just send me back your hard drive and the money to send it back, and I will copy you the latest version of all the stuff, because I'm every day I'm adding stuff to it.
Nice.
So you get the latest modules and more cases and subjects. I have it broke down by case sites, subject matters, and I have a module that you can use plug-in modules, and I have briefs. You can cut and paste out of those because a lot of it has application to what you're doing, and all the law dictionaries, regular dictionaries, and just all kinds of government research, all legislative history stuff that I've downloaded and highlighted that has meaning. So anyway, if you're really interested, there's a lot of stuff there, and it's taken me, I've been working on this for 20 some years now to put all this together. So anyway, I think it's well worth it for those that really want to get into it. But if they don't, well, then I guess that's your problem. You know, everybody's got to make that choice. So,
well, I know it's worth it because I've got a background in doing this kind of work. And when you see those resources at your fingertips that would cost you time and money to go get yourself, it's way beyond worth the amount that Ralph's been asking for this. And, you know, Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you have a corpus juris secundum on that?
I have all of ruling case law, which is the first corpus juris, the first American thing. And then I have the second American. I don't have corpus juris on it, but I have the ruling case law, which is the beginning of Amgur. One, okay. And then I have Amgur 1. I do have Corpus Juris Secundum, which I'm going to get around and copy.
Right.
I just haven't got to it. I have the ability to put that on there, but I have that they still use ruling case law and Amgur 1 in the current Amgur 2. They still, and you'll be amazing when you go to ruling case law. Because they actually have all kinds of cases. It's amazing the information that they cover over today.
Well, what's amazing to me, and this was my first exposure, like I'd had formal training in research and writing, intro to law, you know, inside the box kind of stuff. But when we had our first law research and registry conference, we had a gentleman come out of Seattle that he got on stage and he said, statutes aren't laws. And I about fell out of my chair. I was like, what do you mean statutes aren't law? You know? And so he goes on in his presentation and explains how that the statutes are really only reference to the law and they're not actual law. So the way you beat those is with actual case law where a court has reached a decision where the facts are similar to your situation. And that's powerful to know that because a lot of times, well, and let me explain this because this will really blow away listeners' minds. When you have a state legislature out here and they pass law, right? They have their committees. They say, okay, we want to introduce new law or we want to repeal an old law or we want to modify some law. They vote on that, and then it goes out to the floor where you got to have both sides of the House. You got to have your House of Representatives. You got to have your senators. They got to both pass that change or that new law as being submitted, and then the governor signs off on it if they approve it, right? And that's just how it normally kind of goes down in a thumbnail. Now, those laws aren't passed in any certain order. You may have something on schools. You might have something else on, let's say, mining or oil production or fishing or whatever it is, taxes, whatever the state passes, there's no really rhyme or reason to it, okay? There's no certain order that it has to be done in. Once those laws are passed, they have what's called session law, and that session law is the actual implementation of that law where there's a definition or there are definitions of words, and then they'll explain the intent of the law as meant by the legislators. And that can be very powerful too, especially if you got a corrupt court who's trying to put in their own political influence and say that this means, you know, something a certain way, and they're trying to change it than what it really is. And you can go to that session law and say, well, here's what my state legislator's intent was to protect farming or to do whatever the intent was. Now, that session law is gathered up by folks like Westlaw or Reuters. They have a private group that comes in. They take that session law and they interpret it and put it into statutes that are broken down into titles and sections. But those statutes are not the law that was actually passed. They're just for reference. They're only for reference purposes, and they can be wrong. Years ago, we had a governor, David Walters, who took an oath. He was sworn in, and the oath that he took didn't meet the statutory requirement for the wording of his oath, and they sued over it. The Republicans of Oklahoma were very upset that he got elected, and you know they just unleashed the hounds of hell to destroy this guy. And so when they went to the Oklahoma Supreme Court on this, the Oklahoma Supreme Court says, well, yes, that's what the statute says. However, there was a referendum where the citizens of Oklahoma voted to change the wording of that oath of office, but it was never carried over to the statutes. So those statutes did not hold. They had no control because they weren't accurate. So I'd highly recommend that when you are looking at a statute, keep in mind that's only reference. It may not even be accurate. It's somebody's interpretation of the session law that was passed. And if you can actually go look up the session law, and you know, if you really want to make sure you got everything right, I'd highly recommend you take the time to go look up your state session law on whatever you're having an issue with.
Well, it's even worse than that, because like the Internal Revenue Code, what they used to do was make laws of the United States. That's right in the statutory law at the beginning. They would say statutes of the United States. Then around the turn of the century, 1900, all of a sudden they're talking about statutes of, or laws of the United States and laws of the United States of America at the very beginning. So we're making two things in the quote statute books. Then all of a sudden, somewhere around in 1920s, they dropped laws of the United States and it just become laws of the United States of America. Okay? And then pretty soon it's laws of the United States of America and public law, PL, we see today. Then in 1937, they dropped laws of the United States and everything since then is public law. So the question becomes, are public laws laws of the United States? And the answer is unequivocally no. Now, why do they do that? Here is an issue that is the core of the overthrow of our whole republic. Everybody today is living in the matrix. What we think we know isn't so. Now, how could I say something like that? And it gets down to your status. The people of the several states, which is in the Constitution of the United States to elect representatives, it says people of the several states. And it says what was created in the Constitution of the United States. There was a government of the United States. It says so. The government and the name of it is United States, government of the United States. So on the real party of interest, if the government is coming after you for breaking a statutory law, a law of the United States, which is in Article 6, it says laws of the United States, wouldn't we want to see the word, quote, United States? Does that make sense? That's the government, right? You agree, Mark?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay, well, all of a sudden, they come along, and in 1913, they do something because the problem that they had is after the Civil War, we had something called the Reconstruction Acts. and they were not lying. They reconstructed our republic, and they flipped the original citizenship to be, instead of a citizen of Oklahoma or a citizen of Texas, you're supposed to be a citizen of the United States. But here's the key. It's something you always look at in all everything that goes on. When these, the devil, Satan, is doing his con, they always have to have the law there too. And he can never use the real true law. He always has to do something that looks like but is not. You'll find that in court cases. You'll find it all over. And so that's one of the things you want to learn. So the first thing that I was just, because I'm always, I don't know how this stuff just comes to me. It just does. I'll just say it does. But I was reading in a case, because I found this is one of the things in Westlaw you can do quite easily. Why is the real party of interest United States of America today and not United States? Because I had a lot of books that I'd bought initially before I ever, that's way back in the 90s. I bought a lot of the Supreme Court decision stuff, and they all just say United States. So I went in to research, when did it change from the government of the United States, the real party of interest, is plain United States or the United States, when did that change? Any idea? What's your guess, Mark?
Well, I would probably guess 1913.
Absolutely. And why? Because the 17th Amendment.
Okay.
And because if you look at the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, there's only two parties it's talking about, the people of the several states and the several states. And it said, if one of those two ain't there, we didn't give it to you. That's the two parties to the Constitution of the United States. And this is in Article 1, Section 2, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states. So what did they do when they did the 17th Amendment? They left out the word people of the several states, and they just put in each state. There's no people of the several states. Well, when you just use the word state, you can define that word. You can't define several states. Several is automatically stuck to the union of the several states. There's nowhere to go. So they had to leave out one word. So the Constitution of the United States in 1913 then, there's nobody home. The only two parties are not there. Because when they did the 13th Amendment, it was the citizens of the United States were voting for senators, and the citizens of the United States were voting for the House of Representatives. So that's in 19 where they changed it to United States of America. So then the next question becomes, who the hell is that? Wouldn't that a good question to ask?
Yes, it would be.
And I found 110 cases. United States of America is a sovereign body politic.
Is that in one of your modules, Ralph, on your research?
It is. Yep. It's okay. Just give me a shout. I'll tell you where to do it. I don't know if you know how to do a word search, but it's there. It's in the briefs of the Mooney. Okay. I don't know when you got yours, but the Mooney's case, it's in there. It's one of the attachments. I document it and I put it into the public record.
Great.
So who is United States of America? That's Congress. How do we know that? Got to be able to prove this stuff.
Right.
No, that's one thing. Well, the problem that they had, because they couldn't do regulations in Article 3 courts, that's conclusive. There's no doubt about that. Because there's no injured party and there's no case, there's no controversy and all that. And the Attorney General said so. I'll back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hey, well, we're back here. And if anybody's got any questions, just be sure and dial in. It's 512-248-8252. It's Republic Broadcasting, 512-248-8252. I found it when I was doing this. Because I read a lot of other stuff. I was looking into Cruz. He got around and one vote away. And it's just amazing. I mean, this old gal that croaked up there, Ginsburg, she was a piece of garbage. I don't care what anybody says. She voted on the Helen case. She voted to take away her gun rights. Oh yeah.
Well, she's a political activist. She's a political activist sitting on the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pat in Fort Worth, you got a question or comment? Hello? Pat, you there? I'm not hearing you.
Hello?
Oh yeah, now I can hear you. Go ahead. You got a question or comment?
Yeah, you were talking about everything had to be published in the Federal Register. You know, they established federal depository libraries in the mid-19th century for the public to get into. There's one at TCU over here, and they do not put everything in every city in the Federal Register, because when Orrin Hatch passed the Constitutional Convention Implementation Act in 19, he got it passed in 1984. How to run the Constitutional Convention, because they were so sure they were going to have one. Yeah. And it was in the Federal Register of small towns, but not big cities. I never even saw it until I saw it in a small town, but I didn't see it where I was. So they don't put everything in the games,
but see, this is what makes Westlaw so powerful. Everything in the Federal Register is available at your fingertips. And what's even more available, what makes Westlaw so powerful, I use one search. That's all I do. I use one line normally. And it's called ADV:Advanced Search. And what I do, I search for a word or a phrase, and I can search for it in the same sentence, in so many words apart, in the same paragraph, or the same document. And there is nothing more powerful, because if I'm looking for something, which I'm going to talk about when you hang up, that I found, how do you find this stuff in these literally millions of pages of stuff? And this is what makes Westlaw so powerful, because I can go through and search on what I am looking for. Yeah, I may have to go through a bunch of cases, or I can go into Amger, or I have access to, like, Mertens, Mertens. It's an amazing thing on taxes that the average person has never heard of before. And it's amazing what they tell you. Westlaw, there is no way that I could do my research.
We have two law libraries here, but shut down. You know, there, I don't think you get it.
A law library is good for a few things, maybe like session laws or something like that, like ours, which I made a lot of copies of stuff in Anchorage. They have what Anchorage is amazingly is they Anchorage Law Library has a lot of books in the bottom in their basement that other places were throwing away. But you got to know what to ask for. You can't find out what they got. But you can't keep up with these guys with a law library. You're just wasting your time. I mean, I'm telling you, you can get in there and find a few things, but not going to happen. It's just not possible. You have to have access to what the big law firms have, which is Westlaw or Lexis. And Westlaw is better than Lexis.
I don't know where I saw them, but I saw all those books, and I don't know which law library it was in a while ago.
I'm just telling you.
You're right. It's better to have it at your fingertip than to try to get in today.
Well, I mean, it's all there. But it's like all the Federal Register. It's all word searchable. It's all OCR and all that stuff. So anyway, thanks for calling
Pat. Hang on.
Maybe lying to us, ain't they?
Yeah. Pat, are you still there?
Yeah.
Did you ever visit the law library before the COVID shutdowns? Visit the law library?
Yeah, because my husband and I told them it's against the law. When they passed the Social Security Act, that you would ever use that for an ID, and they're using it for an ID to get your driver's license here in Texas. They took it off, but then they snuck it back in, and I found it in the law library.
Right, Pat. So my next question was, did they allow you to access Westlaw at the law library when you went there and visited?
I think so.
Well, what you might do is call Texas Christian up and ask them, say, hey, I used to visit the law library, and you let me access Westlaw there, and now you're shut down because of the COVID, and I don't have access to the law library, and see if they have any suggestions for you. They may have some way for you to access their resources over the internet, but I would recommend that you call them up and ask them.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, we're back here. And this is just amazing. I mean, there's so much to this. But what these guys did when they redid this thing in 1913, all of a sudden, United States of America showed up. And that's all you will see today. And you will see on behalf of the United States, on behalf of, if you look that up, says that the United States is not the real party of interest, but they're benefiting from it. So Congress is acting. So what I hadn't found initially, but I did, I found two cases. Eastern Metals Corporation versus Martin. That's 191 F sup 245. And what does it say? You see, they created a statutory court. And what hit me was I was reading Senator Cruz's book, and he said, rights are for people, powers is government. I said, oh, damn, why didn't I catch more of this? Because guess what? The United States District Court is a statutory court. In 28 U.S.C. 132, that's where you'll find the code. And it talks about judicial power of a district court. Judicial power. Okay, so we're talking power of a district court. Is the district court a government? Because you see, Article 3 of the Constitution talks about judicial power of the United States. That's the government. Now, that's a major concept. When you stop judicial power of a district court. So then in these two cases, they tell us what the hell they're doing. This case says United States District Court is an inferior court. Oh, I want to do another thing, too, because when I get through with this, United States District Court is constituted. It's constituted a tribunal. That's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. It's a legislative court. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. What you will find, our forefathers were so smart, they established and ordained only two places in the Constitution. In the beginning and in Article 3. Because they wanted to make sure that these courts were ordained, they were established and ordained. They are permanent. They can't be taking the damn things away. You go look up and look up those words. So anyway, it says the district tribunal, the district court is a tribunal under Congress given to Congress by Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. Article 1 is legislative. What the hell is a court doing in the legislative side? They're called legislative courts. And then he said, they tell us here. The words, it says, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. That's a Supreme Court case. That comes right out of the Constitution. It says the creation and the composition of the United States District Court is presently set forth in Title 28 U.S.C. Section 132. A United States District Court only has jurisdiction as Congress confers on the court. The general jurisdiction of United States District Court is set forth in 28 U.S.C. And then they give you the sections 1331, which I've tracked all the way back to changing the Judiciary Act of 1360. General jurisdiction, federal courts are a limited jurisdiction. That's why it's so much better to go there. And the thing is, the federal courts are bound to the English common law. They are bound to cases and controversies. They are bound to law and equity. They can't mix the two up. That's a fact, and they say so. But here's the killer. This is in United States versus Roberts, Ninth Circuit case, 618 F2D 530. There shall be in each judicial district a district court, and the judicial power of a district court, because that's what I was wanting to do. Who the hell? What are they doing? May be exercised by a single judge. A single judge? Then they go on explaining, and this provision should be noticed. It is fundamental that a district judge has no judicial power individually. His judicial power is exercised as a representative of a court. Jurisdiction is lodged in a court, not in the person. The judge exercising the jurisdiction acts for the court. That judge is acting for that court. Not for any government. He's acting for that court. Then they go on to say, district courts are solely the creation of statute. The place with the judge thereof may exercise jurisdiction is subject to the absolutely to the control of Congress. That court is under the control of Congress, and the judge is representing that court. That is a legislative court. That's what they are.
That's crazy.
It's, and the reason why they had to do that, because Article 3 courts can't deal with regulatory this nonsense. So they created a new court system in 1938, and they got us, we the people, to abandon our status of a citizen of Oklahoma or whatever, voting in the representatives and the several states voting in the Senate, so there's no parties to the Constitution of the United States. And what they did is, the Constitution of the United States, organic, is the Articles 1 all the way through and up through the 12th Amendment. 13 and up is not organic. And how do we know that? Because if you go to the 13th Amendment, they call it an article, and then they say Congress can legislate against it. How can I have a right, a real right, that Congress can legislate against? Does that make sense?
No, no. That flies in the face of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, the original Constitution as we know it. The rights, our rights are not a privilege that can be legislated. It's a what we call a human right or a natural right, or some of us say it's a God-given right from our Creator that established the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And what, so when, gets... whenever they start passing amendments and saying that it's legislated, well, we got a problem.
What it is, if you're a citizen of Oklahoma, under the Declaration, you have unalienable rights from the Creator. What's that? That's the laws of nature. That comes from being under, by, created by God. Those are called laws of nature. You also have, as a citizen of Oklahoma, you have what are called civil rights. Civil rights are where you can sue people in your state or fictions in law, corporations, or under the privileges and immunities in the Constitution, citizens or people in other states. That's called civil rights. What you also have that nobody wants to talk about, and there's a great case of Virginia, Virginia, back in 1879, goes into great detail. Political rights, what are those? That is the right of the elective franchise and the right of suffrage to make a determination who holds public office for your form of government. And a citizen of the United States, because it was created in 1866, it says to have the same rights as a white citizen, but it says, if you follow through, it has only civil rights. It has no unalienable rights because it's a made-up fiction. Congress just made it up. It has civil rights so it can sue other citizens or corporations. It also has no political rights. That is a killer. It has no political rights. And I got a 185 ALR 155 goes into it in great detail. It says that a citizen of the United States, the National Voter Registration Act, only protects when you go to the voting polls. You can't have white supremacists, Black Lives Matter, or Antifa, or any other asshole bunch of people out there keeping you from going in the building. But the right who is entitled in the vote, the right of suffrage and the right of the elected franchise, is only if you're a citizen of Oklahoma. A citizen of the United States has none of those. So we are being run by a government, by citizens of the United States that have no right of the elective franchise and no right of suffrage. It's the same as voting in a corporate structure. You can't make this stuff up. And they print it. Did you follow what I just said?
But could you explain a little bit of what political rights mean to me or to any other person? What exactly is political rights?
I'll tell you what, hold on a minute. I gotta go I'll look that case up here. I gotta go find it because it's an amazing case. It's the best. Talks about all this in great detail. Give me just 1 second here. I'll go in and I gotta type in the sites. And I got to type in Virginia, I-R-G-I-N, literally, it's shocking when you see it. And it starts on page 16 here, just a second, there it is right there, and there we are right there. And I'm opening it up, and let's go down to page, about page 16. Okay, let's see here. almost there. Here we go. Let's see here. 16, 15. Yes. Okay. Let me type in the word political. Okay, here we go. This is on page 16. I'm going to go through this whole thing here.
Okay.
The Emancipation Proclamation, the President Lincoln expressed this determination, though placed on the ground of military necessity, the 13th Amendment carried it into organic law. The amendment prohibits slavery and voluntary servitude except for crime within the United States and any subject, blah, 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 blah. And embraces the personal rights of the slave. Let's see. Let's get a little farther here. It was intended to render everyone of the domain of the Republic a free man, but the right to follow the ordinary pursuits of life and other restraints, and enjoy equally them with earnings of his labor. But it conferred no political rights. It leaves the states free, as before the adoption, to determine who shall hold their offices and participate in the administration of the laws and all that. So let's get down here. There's a definition here. I haven't found it yet here. Where is it here? Here we go, right here. This is a key paragraph. It secures all persons' civil rights to the same terms, but it leaves political rights, or as such arise from the form of government and its administration as they stood previous to its adoption. It has no more reference to them than it has to social rights and duties, which do not rest upon any positive law. All the social rights and all the social justice crap is one thing. Identity politics. You don't agree with me? That's social rights, social justice. So they are more potential in controlling the intercourse of individuals. And here we get to it. In consideration of the questions growing out of these amendments, such confusion has arisen from the failure to distinguish between the civil and the political rights of citizens. Civil rights are absolute and personal. Political rights, on the other hand, are conditioned depending on the discretion of the elective or the appointing power, whether that be the people acting through the ballot or one of the departments of their government. Civil rights of an individual are never to be withheld and may be always judicially enforced. The political rights which he may enjoy, such as holding office or discharging a public trust, are qualified because their possession depends upon his fitness to be adjudged by those whom society has clothed with the elective authority. The 13th and the 14th Amendments were designed to secure civil rights of all persons of every race, color, and condition. But they left the states to determine whom the possession of political powers should be entrusted. This is manifest from the fact that it is desired to confer political power upon the newly made citizens of the states was done by inhibiting the denial of them of suffrage on account of race, color, and all that. So what it is, civil rights, 13th and on up, is what they're all talking about, which means we can't discriminate. And if you read the 14th Amendment, it says it's against state actors and the state law. So what Congress is supposed to be doing is overlooking the states. And if the state, I've got another congressional opinion that based on Slaughterhouse-Annette, the states are supposed to be looking over, or the Congress is supposed to be looking over the states, and if they are in any way discriminating in any issue, then Congress steps in. Otherwise, Congress is not supposed to be legislating for anybody as a citizen of the United States. That's a fact. That's in Slaughterhouse and Cruikshank. So the issue is, all it does is to say, when you go to the polls, we want to make sure that nobody's keeping you out. But when you go inside the political rights for your government of Oklahoma, is only if you're a citizen of Oklahoma and you got to be domiciled there. That's it. That makes sense?
Yes, I think it does. It makes more sense. I'm just not sure how political rights basically keeps the federal government from intruding on my rights as a state citizen. Am I saying
no,
that right?
No. Okay. No. What's supposed to happen? You got a sovereign state of Oklahoma. It's sovereign.
Okay.
It's a limited delegation to the United States. The supreme law is only in certain areas. Everything else, you're supposed to have your own constitution of Oklahoma. And the only way you can have a government, the judicial power of Oklahoma is limited to citizens of Oklahoma. A citizen of the United States has no political power. Okay. They can't legislate on who is going to be in the government. All they can do, there are certain things, which I have a thing they can do. They can petition Congress, and if you take on the character of the United States, you can address certain things. But the actual political, the type of government is limited in the several states to strictly being a citizen of Oklahoma. And in this brief that they talk about that, the fact that it doesn't say who is entitled to vote. All it says is you can't discriminate who goes to vote. But when you step inside the building and do a ballot, you got to be a citizen of Oklahoma.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry, we have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Okay. Is this starting to make a little bit of sense? It's the bottom line is they have an overlay for national citizenship. National citizenship is something that does exist. It exists in D.C., of which Congress has plenary power over. And the thing is, we can take on the character of a citizen of the United States for certain things, like I can take on the character of a landlord, I can take on the character of a tenant and go to court. But I am not that. That is not who I am. That's just the character, and that comes out of this. And what is hard for people to understand is a citizen of the United States only has civil rights, They have no natural, unalienable rights, and they have no political rights. They have no authority to tell who's in government. And so with that absence gone, because we're citizens of the United States, Congress has stepped in to create a complete matrix where it says United States of America is a sovereign body politic. We're under the absolute plenary power of Congress. And that's a fact. And I got 110 cases say they say we are the sovereign body politic. You got to be kidding me. But we signed up for it because we don't understand. We're like Esau in the Bible. He gave away his birthright.
Right.
There's some lentil meats. We signed up. We can't give it away unless we excommunicate from our government. But we keep signing up for benefits. And Congress just said, well, they got everybody believing this nonsense. But you got to have a true citizen, as was founded, you got to have inalienable rights, you got to have civil rights, and you have to have political rights. All three of them. And a citizen of the United States only has civil. They can just sue in court, and that's all they can do. They're missing number one. They don't have anything to do with the Creator. That's why these people are secular, the Democrats and all these people. There's no God. Citizen of the United States has no God. And that's what they're pushing.
Right.
And they have no political power because Congress is legislating all this through these agencies. And then they don't do any predicate. They've hired these agencies and then they oversee them. And they can do their regulations in 6 months, up or down them, but they don't have any predicate of the force and effect of law because they can't do it. They can't go there. It's an illusion, a con.
And then you go into court thinking you have constitutional rights, and you don't.
No, and you go to court thinking it's a constitutional court. There aren't any. They had to get rid of the constitutional courts because there's no elections for any public officers in any of the several states. They don't exist. They print it. The National Voter Registration Act is only for federal offices. Is your governor a federal office? Oh, yeah, they print it. You will find where it'll be a sovereign state of the United States of America, Oklahoma.
Wow.
They'll print this somewhere in their stuff. They're a sovereign state of the United States of America. What happened to the Union of the States for the government of the United States? It's all in the words, and it's a tough concept.
Well, it is a tough concept because we've been brainwashed. I mean, we've been told it's been this way for so long. To unravel it it takes time, even for the most knowledgeable person. It takes somebody like yourself to start breaking that down and being able to prove it. And then you got to study it. You got to absorb it. You can't just take somebody's word that's what it means. People have said that you got to know who you are. Well
we got to go. And all
easy.
I can say is thanks for listening, and God willing, vote for Trump and Biden.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.